Hello there, gorgeous souls. Welcome to another episode of the Success Revolution podcast. And this is the final episode in my Playful Uplevel series, which has been my 90-day experiment to really just play more in my business and really look at expanding and growth and all the things from a really like less serious nature. So I didn't actually record a podcast episode last week. Time kind of just slipped away. And here we are, it is like days out from Christmas now, and I really wanted to wrap this year up with this final episode, and I'm going to be taking a break until beginning of February in 2024 and coming back into the podcast with fresh content, a fresh way of doing things that's really focused on what I'm calling the year of fun, which is 2024 energy. So lots is going to happen, and I'm really excited for the plans that I'm putting into place, but first, we're going to have a bit of a break. I've got my kids home with me on school holidays. I'm still working, but I'm just really like kind of stripping back things. And there's just so much content here. I'm like, if you stumble across this, so you want to review things, there's like hundreds of episodes so you can dive in. So with that being said, I wanted to wrap up my Playful Uplevel experiment. I've moved through the first stage, which is the testing stage. And I have tested some hypotheses. And I've kind of got some outcomes and some things that I want to share with you that have been really interesting and fascinating for me to kind of sit here and reflect upon. And I wanted to use this episode a little bit selfishly for me to kind of talk through what the experience has been like and also just share that journey with you as well. So that's exactly what I'm going to dive into today with the 12 lessons that I have extracted. And I'm going to tell you, I actually, like, there's more than 12. I've learned so much about this experiment. I've learned so much about myself. I've learned a lot about business and success and the way that we are wired to think, our nervous system, strategies, a whole lot of things. And there's definitely some conclusions that I've got, and there's still some questions that I'm going to be continuing to explore. But I'm going to 100% tell you that at the end of this experiment, I am even more determined to continue to focus my business on helping women to find the fun and the fulfillment and the fire in their business, to let play lead, to lighten up and take things less seriously, and to just enjoy themselves more. I'm even more conviction about that message. And I will continue to test this hypothesis and continue to test this idea that fun is the new frontier for women, for highly ambitious, driven and motivated women. And the playful up level is honestly the key to expanding within ourselves and within our business in a way that actually just feels so much more nourishing than some of the other ways that we've been shown. So more conviction than ever before, and I'm really excited to continue on this journey myself and to support my clients as I have been. So let's dive into some of the lessons that I've learned. I've got 12 here that I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to talk to each of them and we'll see where this episode goes. So the first lesson that I really want to share with you is that prioritizing fun, particularly in the terrain of business, is really foreign. It's really incredibly an unfamiliar and foreign concept, because I really believe that everything and everyone around us talks about taking business really seriously, that we have to be so committed and all in and, you know, like, yeah, taking it so seriously. And so there is a lot that comes up when you start to prioritize fun, and it feels very foreign and very uncomfortable and very unfamiliar, and it takes time. It takes time. This is not a one choice. Oh, I'm choosing to have more fun and now it's all just going to fall into place. This is something that I've had to choose daily, and that has been a challenge too. And I'll talk about different aspects of this, but that has certainly been incredibly challenging and fun and fascinating and all the things. But I do want to let you know that it's not something that I see talked about a lot at a very front end place. I think a lot of people might talk about, you know, fun and might look at this a little bit behind closed doors, but I really think it's very, very foreign. It is really incredibly unusual, and it will bring up a lot of stuff which I'm going to talk about. So I just want you to know that first, because when you choose a path like this to be more playful, to stop taking yourself so seriously, and to make fun really the foundation of your business, it's just such an unusual concept. I think we have been taught over and over again that we have to take these things more seriously. You know, for me, it certainly goes back to schooling, being in school, and we're taught, you know, exam time, and like, you've just got to take things so seriously. And we kind of lose that childlike approach. So it is very strange. And I want you to know that, because when you go into it, if you choose to follow this path, it might feel uncomfortable for you too. And I want you to know that that's okay. I want you to know you're not doing anything wrong. Okay. You haven't mucked this up. It is just weird. It's just weird and it's foreign, and you've got to give it time. You've got to give it time. Like, even a 90-day experiment, I'm like, cool, I've learned some things, but this needs more time and more nurturing. This concept, this whole ideology around being more playful, about having more fun, prioritizing those things, it really does need more time. It needs more time for a lot of reasons, which I'll talk about. So I wanted to share that. That's really the first lesson. It's weird. It's really, really weird. And it's very, very unfamiliar. The next lesson that I really want to share with you is that fun is an experience. It's not an outcome. It's not a result. It's not really even a goal. It is an experience that we have in the journey. And that was really a challenging one to kind of wrap my head around. I think because for me, I've always been so goal-oriented. I've always been so achievement-focused. That's just the ambition that really lives inside of me. And so trying to shift away from, like, trying to create this very outcome-focused, fun thing was different. It was, I really, really had to come into the journey. I really had to come into the experience. And that meant I had to come into my body, because it's not really, as I said, like this tangible outcome, which is really different. Again, I'm so used to, like, we're chasing a goal. It's like a money goal. It's a sales goal. It's some sort of outcome focus that I'm always striving for. And so shifting away from setting goals, because I haven't really set a lot of goals over the last 90 days at all, and moving from this very tangible metric-based way of running business into just the experience of business and the experience of selling and the experience of sitting down and doing client sessions and all the small things, like actually seeing that fun is more of a feeling, is probably maybe a better way to say it than it is an outcome. And I share that with you again because if you're like me, you're a woman that's so been so goal-oriented and been so achievement-focused, that's weird to move out of. It's really strange to let go of goals in the way that we really understand them, or maybe let go of attachment to goals in the way that we really understand it, and to actually just make this very, very concerted choice to really do something or choose something because it feels fun in the moment, not because it's going to give me an outcome that will create a good feeling. It's a shift. Again, it's foreign, it's unfamiliar, it's weird, but it's a feeling, right? Moving into this space of choosing this path is choosing more of being present in the moment and enjoying what I'm doing, regardless of how it lands, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the result. Again, this takes time. So conditioned for goals, so conditioned for striving and achieving, to really just release that. And I've had to practice it in areas outside of my business. So I love to work out, and just even, you know, I go for a run usually once or twice a week, and I've used it to practice it there. So instead of having like a goal of I'm going to run 5 kilometers today, or I'm going to run at this speed, or I'm going to follow this path, or it's just been about I'm going to kind of be in the enjoyment of how my body feels while I'm moving. I'm going to be in the bliss of the song that I'm listening to and the sun. And it's like, it's been so much more about, doesn't matter whether I hit 5 kilometers or not, I'm going to like run because it feels really good. I'm going to go in this direction because it feels intuitively feels really good to run in this direction. I'm going to follow this path because this is the way that I want to go. And moving away from it doesn't matter how fast I run. It doesn't matter the distance I do. What matters and what's most important is the experience of it. So I've practiced it outside of my business to really develop that skill set so that I could really ground into what that feels like and bring that into my business. So that's another lesson. The next thing I will say is you have to choose fun over and over and over again. I said this in the first lesson. It's not just something you choose one day and go, oh, next year I'm going to focus on more fun, and then you forget about it and it just happens naturally, because it won't just happen naturally. You've got to choose it, and you've got to choose it every day in every moment. You've got to choose to also inject it into the activities that you're doing. Because I'm going to tell you, there are some things, honestly, that I do in my business that I could probably give or take. But there are also things that also have to be done. Following the fun and being in this playful up level doesn't mean that you don't do any of those things that are challenging or hard or that you don't really love. Yes, it's about looking at handing those things over if you've got team. Definitely, it's about handing those things over. But there are some things that only you can do because they're just part of what it is to be a business owner or to be doing your trade or whatever it is that you do. And so in those instances, you've got to choose the fun. You've got to choose ways to do that. And I've had to do that, whether that's by putting music on and dancing around with it, or if that's, you know, using like habit stacking techniques of combining it with things that I love to do. Yeah. Like sometimes, for instance, I started on TikTok and yeah, sometimes I'm kind of just like, oh, another video. I don't know if I want to really do this, but then I realized that I love talking. I love doing psychic readings. I love those things. So I've had to choose to inject the fun through the thing that I love to do into the thing that I don't always love to do. So there has to be a concerted effort to choose the fun. That really goes back to the point of that fun is an experience. It's a feeling. And so if it is that case, then it's about learning how to cultivate that yourself without waiting for some external stimulus necessarily to do that. So, you know, that's where a lot of the nervous system practices that I use have been incredibly important. That's where the mindset tools have been really important too, because it won't just always happen naturally, particularly if you are wired for seriousness and achievement and ambition and all of the things that a lot of us are wired for. Yeah, the fun just doesn't happen by proxy. Okay, so you do have to choose it. So that's important. I wanted to really cover that because a lot of people get really confused when I've talked to people about it. It's like, well, I stop doing anything that's not fun? And the thing is that we have a lot of conditioning around things that are fun, and we have a lot of trauma, big T or little T trauma, that lives in our body too, that can take us away from the things that actually can be really fun for us, because we've got a lot of narratives and stories and stored trauma that we hold in our body that actually creates negative relationships with those fun things. And that perfect example of that is, you know, writing like social media content or showing up. That can be like a lot of people I work with don't like social media, but what's really going on is that it triggers an old pattern inside of them. And so you need to know how to move and release and process a lot of the conditioning to be able to tap in and choose the fun too. So I will say that as well. Next one I want to share with you, next lesson, is you've got to find the fun in the mundane. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the previous lesson that I learned as well, because this has been a really big one in a lot of the conversations I've had with clients. And so I want to share this with you here, is that the energy of fun and play and joy isn't just a one-dimensional emotional or sensory experience. There isn't just one dial. Like if you were to have a scale or a dial between 1 to 10, you know, joy and fun and bliss and all of those emotional experiences, don't just live on one setting. There's range, right? There's range. And this was really important because so many of my clients that I worked with understood fun or joy or bliss to look a particular way. So for it to look like this very, for instance, very high energy, very like celebratory, like I'm jumping around, I'm at a party type of energy, That's great. That is absolutely one representation of fun and play and joy, but it's only one. And so what does fun and play and joy look like at different levels on that dial? And that's where really this understanding for me is around experiencing fun in the mundane also kind of really came about, because you've got to play in the range. And there is joy and fun that lives in a lot of the very mundane stuff. So, you know, that can be even, like, for instance, I was just scheduling some emails that were going out then just before I got onto this podcast to record it. It's a very mundane task, right? Very, very mundane. Again, you've got to choose it and find it and experience it in some of those mundane tasks. You've got to learn how to play with the different range of that expression. Again, this is that is really a nervous system practice, because again, a lot of women's nervous systems are very wired for high energy stress states, high energy, which, and by the way, excitement really is a very high energy state, but that's a lot of people's interpretation and understanding of what it looks like. So learning to play in the mundane and experience that different range of fun is game changing. And that has also allowed me to be able to sustain that energy of fun and joy for longer periods in my business. Because, you know, before I used to really understand it to only be in those, like, oh, it's that really outcome, like I've just had a big celebration, this is really fun, I'm just doing this big, high energy, exciting thing. That's really fun. But it lives in other pockets, other experiences, not just what we really see as those very, very exciting type of experiences. Okay, so you've got to really allow yourself to play with and experiment with what fun feels like in a lot of the mundane. So that was a really big one, and it's been a really big one for a lot of my clients too. Moving on to the next lesson. This is another one that's really, really important inside what I'm now calling my playful up-level method, and that is you have to give up the belief that there's something wrong with you and it needs to be healed and fixed. A pause for a moment on this one, because this is so significant. At some point in our journey, we've dug around in all of our wounds and our blocks enough. We've picked at the scabs. We've put band-aids on them. We've bandaged them up. We've loved them. We've dug into them to understand them more. At some point, that's got to stop. And you've got to stop looking at yourself like there's something wrong. If you're not where you want to be in business, you're not moving as fast as, you know, Sally, or you're not doing business at the level that John is doing, or whatever that looks like, that's okay. You've got to stop seeing that there's something wrong with you, because otherwise what happens is we just stay in problem-focused mode instead of play mode. Instead of just following those things that feel good, we're looking at the things that don't feel good and we're seeing the problem with us in that. And that is, that again, another really, really big shift. And it's a big shift because, you know, part of my work is in the personal development space. Part of the work that I do is really working on mindset and nervous system and energetics and all of those things. And there is an entire personal development industry that is built on the premise that there's something wrong with you and you need to be fixed. Can you imagine if we all just realized there's nothing wrong with us? An entire industry would collapse. An entire industry would go down. In fact, I think the world economy would probably collapse if we all just realized there's absolutely nothing wrong with us. We are whole, we are perfect, we are loved amongst all of our imperfections, amongst all our worries and our fears and our stresses and our negative thoughts and limiting beliefs and all those things, that we're still whole. Nothing needs to be fixed. We just have to learn how to, think in more supportive and suitable ways for us. Absolutely. But we don't have to keep digging around. And this is a big one for a lot of my clients, because I do work with a lot of incredible women that have spent decades doing the personal development work. They've spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money as well, going into their blocks and their wounds and all of those things. And coming out of this space and just going, there's actually nothing wrong with me. I don't need to fix anything. I just want to focus on what feels good now. And maybe those things that didn't feel good for a reason, not because there's something wrong with me, but maybe there's something wrong with the way that I've been told it needed to be done, which is so fascinating, because I was having a conversation on a coaching call this morning, and a lady who is a projector in human design asked me the question. She said, am I just not designed? Like, am I just not designed to run a business? I said to her, you're not designed to run a business the way that you believe you've been told to run a business. But you can absolutely be successful in business, but it has to be in alignment with who you are. You have to stop seeing these challenges that you've had in trying to adopt someone else's way of doing business as a problem, you problem, right? It's not a you problem. It's a structure problem. It's a strategy problem. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just not doing business the way you're designed to be doing. Nothing needs to be healed or fixed about you. That's a big piece for a lot of women to give up, because we're always looking, and we all fall into this, but this really is, you know, we kind of work in the victim gear, which we all slip into at times. But what happens is when we're in victimization, and that usually is triggered by the fact that we're not where we want to be, we're not achieving the goals that we want, is we'll either blame, shame, or justify. So a lot of the time we will self-blame. We will blame, we're looking for a scapegoat. We're looking for someone to blame. And a lot of the time we will blame ourselves. We will blame ourselves and go, there must be something wrong with me. That has to go. And I'm an advocate for that, whether you choose fun as a focus in your business, whether you want to play your way and, you know, release all of the stress and the pressure and just enjoy yourself more, it doesn't matter. I'm a huge advocate for you no longer thinking there's something wrong with you and there's nothing that needs to be fixed. You just have to learn to work with who you really are. So that was a really big one, and that really came up for me. And so that brings me to my next point, which is being more playful will bring up your shit. It will bring it up. So be prepared to see it and be with it without thinking there's something wrong with you. And I'm going to tell you, Scorpio season really did that for me. Scorpio season did a massive number on me this year. So I'm talking about that October-November period when we're astrologically transiting through the Scorpio sign. Hello, childhood stuff came up in a big way. And it came up in a big way because I really had made this effort to be more playful. And play is so, it's such a childlike approach. So it was no surprise that things from my childhood came up. Learned helplessness, really giving my power away to things outside of me. That came up in such a big way. And it was really interesting to navigate this time around, particularly because I was so focused on giving up the belief that there's something wrong with me and that needs to be fixed. And I had to sit with it, going, there's nothing wrong with me. I am just experiencing some triggers right now. I don't need to be fixed or healed or bandaged up. I just need to sit with this and witness it and process it and just process all of the big emotions that were coming up, feel them, move my body, continue to choose to see that it wasn't real. Those are the things that really came up. And so I will say that to you is just be aware. Maybe it won't happen for you, I don't know. But if you're anything like me, you're here to grow and evolve and you're willing to look at those things. Just understand it will bring things up for you. Releasing the stress and the tension and the pressure and shifting into being more playful will bring up a lot of fears. For me, one of the things that really brought up for me particularly was a fear of not belonging. And that has a lot to do with the fact that I'm very visible in the online space, particularly on social media. I'm connected with a lot of incredible women who do amazing things in business. And so many of them talk about money milestones and being more committed and taking it seriously and going bigger and putting your big girl pants on and radical responsibility and all of the things that really have been told to us for so long are so important in business. And it's not that they're not, it's the seriousness with which they get adopted that has been problematic for me. And so here I am, and am right now, like I'm coming to the end of closing out a 12-day launch period where I was launching something called the 12 Days of Playmas, which is an offer every day for 12 days, where it was just talking about having fun. And it made me feel like an outcast, and it does still at times. And that's part of my lesson and my journey, but that's what it does. It brings this stuff up again because there's part of me that's a unicorn in this space, talking about things, revolutionizing the way that we approach success and business. There is so much. You can go anywhere and find information on goal setting, success planning, strategies. But go, and I tried this, go type in how to have fun in your business, fun strategies, you're not going to find a lot of content. You're not going to find a lot because it's not talked about. It's not spoken about. It's not something that people prioritize. It's out there. And so, yeah, it brought up a lot of stuff for me. And it still does. But I just continue on and face those things. Like, there's nothing wrong with me. Okay. Yes, I'm having some visibility fears right now, but there's nothing wrong with me. I just got to sit with it. I just got to sit with it and let all of those things that come up. And so I say that to you. It does bring it up. It just brings up a lot of stuff because I just come back to this concept that we have been taught that we have to take, in order to achieve the things we want, we've got to take things really seriously. We've got to chase them. We've got to, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. No one's coming to save you, like all of those things. And yeah, you know, there's truth to that. But also, at what point are we going to stop taking ourselves and this entire journey so seriously? As my husband says, we're all heading to the one destination. You know, however you see it, whether it's the hole in the ground for you, the urn on the shelf, or the big place in the sky, we're all heading to the one destination. So, like, let's just enjoy the process and stop taking it all so seriously. Anyway, that one came up. So just be prepared that stuff will come up. Again, you're not broken. There's nothing wrong. Just be prepared to be with it. All right, where are we going? Next lesson. Where do I want to take you? Yeah, this is, for me anyway, I will say, money goals are a huge distraction for me. That was a lesson that I'm still, again, I think like this one is so deeply ingrained. Setting goals and achieving goals is so deeply ingrained in our culture and in my own psyche that this one is honestly, it's still one that I'm working through and trying to find that kind of sweet spot, I guess. But I will tell you that I find the moment that I give up goals is the moment that the magic happens. And I've told the story of meeting my husband before, but I'll just revisit it here because I've really learned over this period because my husband and I came together because I really focused on the fun and the play and the joy in my life, not in a relationship, I literally stopped setting the goal of finding a husband. I completely released it. I had no focus on it whatsoever. And through some synchronistic series of events that make no logical sense whatsoever, very, very quickly, the moment I released those goals and went, you know what, I'm just going to go enjoy my life. I met my husband and we've been together for 11 years. Okay, going on to 12. So I use my relationship as an example and as a way to really ground in what it's like to bring that into business. And so for me, continuing to just trust that I don't need to set goals in order for magical things and, you know, those things to find me. What's important for me is that the things that I used to chase, I no longer chase. And instead, I focus on having the time of my life and those things find me while I'm doing that. And the same goes for business. Again, really super radical. Because again, manifestation principles tell us get specific and clear on what you want. Know the goal. What are you heading towards? And for me, I just find my goals create pressure. And as soon as that pressure comes, the play usually goes. And whilst part of this is nuanced, it is about really finding how to playfully like be in that space of money. There's part of that conversation that, again, I'm still exploring a little bit more within myself. But I just will say that one of the biggest lessons for me is really releasing having to have money goals in my business. It's still a very radical thought, but I just know, and I'm going to tell you right now, I've made the most money when I haven't had money goals. That's all I can tell you. It's the only thing I can tell you is the moment I stop focusing on money goals, I make more money. I've got evidence. And I can tell you also the moment that I overly focus on money goals doesn't happen. Like I have to just be in the joy. I have to just be in the fun, the play, the bliss, whether that's in my business or out in my life. I have to be in that. I can only tell you I've got so much evidence. And still, it's still a tricky area for me to navigate, if I'm really honest with you, even though I've got all of this evidence, because there's so much ingrained in our culture that says it's got to be done this way. Set the goal, make a plan, and off you go. So, you know, again, it goes back to really understanding fun is an experience, not an outcome. It's being more focused on the journey than the destination. It's really falling in love with the process, not just the outcome. Again, big shifts. I'm still on that journey. It's still a day-to-day choice. But it is one that is so much more worthwhile, because I don't know about you, I don't enjoy chasing money goals. But what I do love is when money surprises and delights me. I will tell you that. It is very, very nice to be like, I'm out here doing this thing and all of a sudden people are signing up to my work and I'm like out just enjoying my life. That's nice. I can get behind that. I can tell you that. Okay. So that is the next lesson. Let's move on. I really want to kind of make sure I finish on finish on things here that are really powerful. Okay, here's the next lesson. You know what? It feels really selfish to prioritize yourself on what feels good. That's the next thing. I call this the selfish era. I call this the selfish era. Again, really, really strange, because in business we've been told to focus on two things, income and impact, right? Sales and service. Money and the mission. And I'm like, hey, just focus on what feels good. Just focus on what feels good. It feels very selfish. You feel very selfish, very, very selfish. You'll also feel judged and triggered, but just own it, because it's yours. It's no one else's. Really, really important to know that. But I have found for me that there is a selfish element to this. But I also believe, and I have continuing to collect evidence of this, is that when I focus on being really selfish and doing things selfishly because I love them, is that I actually end up being of greater service and I end up actually making more money. So the service and the sales flow from my selfishness. So that is a really interesting one that takes some time to really sit and be with. It's like the whole thing of like, you can't take care of anyone else until you take care of yourself. Well, the same is kind of true. Like, if you're not in your, and I've tried to be, you know, in, like, just completely focused on my people and service and the money and all those things. And those things are naturally ingrained in me, particularly the service. Like, I'm here to be of service to my people, but it's just about shifting that focus away. Again, very, very different. And it's, there's nuance to this, but I just wanted to really share that lesson, is that it does feel really weird. And it feels very, very selfish to prioritize what feels good. Very, 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 very selfish. It does. And so I've had to sit with a lot of my own self-criticism and judgment around that, and how that could potentially negatively impact other people. And I've had to continue to trust over and over and over again, trust in my business, that the more I focus on things that feel good for me, the more service, the better in service I can be, and the better I can also do financially. And that takes time. Again, there's so much conditioning around prioritizing ourselves in business. There's so much conditioning around just doing what you love, and can it really just be that simple? And whilst there is absolutely nuance and strategy to all of this, at the core and the foundation, the answer is yes. And I'm continuing to collect evidence of that. I'm continuing to move in that direction and to experiment with this more and more and more. I am committed to this path, and the discomfort and the joy and the bliss and all the things that come with it. But I just want you to know, it does feel selfish to do this. It really, really does. And that's okay. It's okay. But own it and make sure you know that it's yours. You're feeling that. It's your self-criticism. It's your self-judgment. It is nobody else's. Nobody else's. Next lesson. I think I've only got two or three more. Change is really, really hard. It's really fucking hard. So the biggest changes for me have been moving from pressure to play. really moving from frustration to fun, making that shift away from setting goals into just doing things that feel good, being more on my bliss and joy, it's actually really, really hard. Change is hard. Those that evolve thrive. However, we are wired to stay the same because that's just the survival. And so it's a really interesting and fascinating and fun and curious place for me to explore all of those edges. But what you're really asking yourself to do is change. And I talk to my clients about change all of the time. And there's, so I have a, what I've called the creative cycle of change, and there's many phases in that. And there it is really challenging. It's confusing. There is a lot of fear involved in it. Fears of it not being enough, fear of not belonging, fear of being an outcast, fear of being judged, fear of not being able to take care of yourself. Lots of fears come up. It's hard. And it's been fun too, to be honest. And it's fascinating to me, but also it's really, really hard. It is really hard. And I don't want to lie to you about that. Remember, you've got to choose the fun, even in the hardness, right? Even in the challenge, even in the edges that you meet as you're making this change and shifting away from the pressure and the stress into the satisfaction and the flow and the fun. It's hard. And your subconscious and your nervous system will want to pull you back time and time again. Society will want to pull you back time and time again to the status quo. To whatever, like, work hard, work really hard. It has to be hard to be successful. It can't be fun. All of those narratives that are conditioning that come up over and over again that we are exposed to over and over again will pull you back. And you've got to be really courageous and committed and continue. And just know there's uncomfortable, like there's discomfort because there's a lot of uncertainty. We're not like, human beings, we don't like uncertainty. Like by proxy, we don't like it. We don't want uncertainty. We want things to be certain. We want things to be clear. We want to know exactly what's going to happen. That's the survival part of our brain. It's like, I need to know. Okay. So it's going to be hard. That's okay. All right. Because when it gets hard, my next lesson is you've got to be really, really curious. You've got to get super, super curious about yourself. You've got to get super, super curious about your business. And you've got to get super, super curious about what's possible. Whenever it gets really hard, whenever I'm in that edge of change, I really lean into curiosity. So questions are such a good place to go. Instead of goal setting and certainty, it's like, what if I do this? I wonder what will happen here. What if I think and believe this? Let me explore this. Let me be curious. You've got to be like an adventurer. This is that childlike nature that's really, really important. Curiosity is everything because there isn't a heckload of confidence that I have felt necessarily in this transition away from the pressure and the stress into something that's more playful. I haven't felt a lot of confidence because there's been so much uncertainty. I haven't had necessarily a lot of evidence right now. Even though I've got evidence of the past, I've still got a truckload of evidence that pushing yourself really hard, being really stressed, chasing money goals, all those things, that works kind of. So I've had to really lean into curiosity. It's like going on a choose your own adventure. What will happen if I open this door? What will happen if I turn left instead of right? What will happen if I get in the car and drive in this direction instead of that direction? What will happen if I say this instead of this? Curiosity has been my best friend and it continues to be. And it really does bring out, like my twins ask so many questions. They are so curious. They are curious, curious, curious kids. They also want to know a lot of answers. So the thing with this is I will say is curiosity is about asking the question more than it is about knowing the answer because that's clarity. And a lot of people are looking for clarity when really what you're leaning into is curiosity. What could this look like? How different could this be? Asking yourself those questions and being willing to go out with courage and commitment and explore what the answers might be to that. And again, I'm doing 12 days of Playmas. This is a really curious experiment. What would it be like? Because I don't have a lot of evidence. I've never really sold over the Christmas New Year period. I've usually kind of just shut down and going, you know what, no one buys at this time of year. I was like, I don't really want it to be that way. I want my business to thrive in this period. I don't want to shut down for 2 months. What would that look like? What would it look like to do that in a really fun way for me that feels really good? And that's where I came up with the idea of the 12 days of Playmas. And so I really had to lean into curiosity. and courage to go forth and do that and just see, let me try and collect evidence that people do buy in this period. What would that look like in a way that feels really good for me? How can I play more in this phase? Be more fun, all of those things. And that's exactly what I did and I am doing. It's just being really, really curious, and it has brought a lot of a more childlike, more lighthearted nature into business in the process. And I've collected evidence and I've got data and I can have a look at it and I can see what I can do differently next time and what's worked and hasn't worked, what felt good, what didn't feel good, what would I tweak and change, and all of those things that we can really do when we're creating new evidence in our business of a different reality we want to create. But you've got to be really curious. Curiosity is like at the core of the playful up-level method. It's at the core of it. It's at the core of everything that is so important when it comes to being in the play state in your nervous system, because it's a very creative state and curiosity leads creativity, okay? So next lesson. We're wired to take things really seriously. I've already covered off on this, but I just wanted to highlight this as a lesson. I just wanted to highlight this as a lesson on its own. We are wired to take things really, really seriously. I've spoken about this a lot already, but I want you to know it is a hard one to let go of, and that's okay, just like any change is. It's challenging. But this whole concept of like having to be more committed and like going all in and taking things really seriously and putting the big girl pants on and stress, 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 pressure, 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 like this is the path you've got to take. Yeah, look, those things do find you. You don't have to go seeking them out, but we've got to stop investing all of this seriousness in. Okay. Seriousness generally does come from being very much a survival mode in our nervous system and our subconscious mind. So, but that's also the thing that's got to shift, because if you want to be in the play state and you want to create magic in your business, then we want to be thriving. And so we have to come out of survival. So we've got to let go of things like the stress and the seriousness. It's a choice you have to make. It's a practice that you have to adopt. And it's a strategy as well you've got to bring into your business. There's intentional actions and choices that have to be made in order to be less serious and to be more playful. It's also time to know when, you know, seriousness is the energy to bring into things and when play is the energy to bring in. So it's a little bit of both. It's not like there's no seriousness in business, but I think that that finds us. I don't think we need to create it. And we do that a lot when we get into fear, and particularly when we get into fear of future. We get into like anxiousness or worry about the future. That's when seriousness really creeps in. It's very much future-based type of an energy. It's where we take things really, really seriously. And I have found for me that, you know, I have patterns of learned helplessness, which is a childhood trauma response that really comes from obviously my mum dying. My dad, you know, did the best that he could, but really didn't fulfill a lot of my emotional needs and sometimes physical needs too when I was young. So I was like, I'm a child. I can't take care of myself. Like, I can't take care of myself. And so who's going to take care of me? You know, all those things came up, and that's what learned helplessness is, but it creates a very pessimistic outlook of life because we're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're always waiting for something to go wrong and for something really bad to happen. So I've had to really learn, and I've invested in, you know, really understanding more about learned helplessness, but also starting to learn more about learned optimism and what that actually looks like and how to create a more optimistic outlook. And thank God I am married to an incredible man who is generally fairly optimistic. He's a realist, but he's also fairly optimistic. He's got an attitude of like everything is figureoutable, which is really incredible. So I'm kind of surrounded by that energy. But even though I've been surrounded by that energy for 12 years, it's taken me to this point to be like, oh, optimism, shit, that's a thing, right? Oh, I don't have to take the future so seriously. I can just be more present and trust that good things are going to come and everything's going to be okay. And if the other shoe does drop, then I'm going to be all right. Like, poor. That's a big one. I'm telling you, Scorpio season, it took me there really intensely. And what came out of that, though, was understanding that I don't have to take business and the future so seriously, that I can actually be more in the joy, that I can trust in the optimistic outlook for my business, despite the evidence that I might have right now, whatever that looks like for people. I can really trust in being more optimistic and know that if that optimistic outlook doesn't come to fruition, that I can manage the disappointment that comes from that. I don't have to be so serious about it in order to make sure that nothing bad happens and to make sure that I've covered all bases and I've predicted the bad things that might happen. So it was an interesting one for me to let go, but I'm going to offer that one up for you. It's like, we are very wired to take things seriously. Again, we're wired very much to survival. Survival is all about those basic needs being met. So there is a serious nature to that, because obviously if we don't have food, shelter, water, and to be honest with you, connection is also there too, met, then that's a threat to our survival. But it really is about knowing and seeing that those things are met and being able to shift into a more optimistic outlook, which actually takes off that pressure, which allows you to take things less seriously. It's an interesting one to let go, but it's the work that I do with my clients all the time. It's a nervous system thing. It's subconscious. There's practical tools to use with that one, but I will offer that one up for you. Final lesson, we're here. Wow, I've not recorded a podcast episode this long in a long time, but it's been nice to talk. As I said, I'm processing a lot of this myself as I'm talking. It's been really good for me. You know, this is a very personal, a really, really personal lesson that I have learned, and maybe you won't relate to this one necessarily, but I'm going to tell you, I love business. I have really just realized, like, business to me is an art form. It is a creative outlet for me. Some people paint, yeah. Some people do arts and crafts. Some people knit and sew. Some people draw. Some people color in. I do business. It's an art form, and I fucking love it. I love the process of it. And that's something that really, you know, I don't know whether I've realized this before. It's like it's almost grounding at a new level in terms of my understanding and also in my body too. But doing this, I keep referring to the 12 days of playlist that I'm doing. I'm on day 10 right now. I just, in talking to my mentor about getting prepared for this, I was like, I just fucking love creating offers and naming them and marketing and selling and the work that I do with my clients and even like writing emails and video. Like I love it. It is my artwork. It's my artwork. And I guess I'm, you know, maybe not everyone is like that. Do I think in order for you to be successful in business, you have to love business? I don't know. Jury's out on that one. I think, why would you? If you didn't love business, why would you be in business? Like, if you love what you do, but you, like, I love the art form of business, right? Like, I love the art form of understanding the financials and revenue models and how to create offers and market and the, you know, selling techniques. And I'm fascinated by that stuff. And I think to myself, like, if you don't love business, but you love like your trade and what you do, like maybe you are better off with a job. I don't know. Jury's out. I'm not here to tell you on that one. I'm just kind of here to maybe plant that seed and maybe for you to reflect and think, oh, hang on a second. Like, do I love it too? Like, I love the creativity of it. What takes me out of the love is when I get very outcome focused and I'm like, I'm only going to feel successful when I sell this spot, make this money. Like, I've got these goals. Like, I just love the process. Like, I've loved the last week and a half of selling these offers. Like, I've got incredible things coming up. I'm doing amazing work with clients. I've got masterclasses and workshops and, you know, all the things. And I love it. I just love it. I love the art form of it. I love the creation of it. I love the ideation of it. I love the ideation of it, I have to say. I love the creation of it. I love the selling and the marketing of it. And it doesn't always hit the mark either, by the way. But I love the lessons that I learn about that. And I love the execution of it. I love being in the room with my clients and having the conversations and teaching concepts. And so I love the trade, like the actual trade of what I do too. But man, I really, really love business. I really do. I derive so much joy out of it. Like, God bless my children. It goes without saying, I adore them. And they went off to a one day camp today. And honestly, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get in my business and record this podcast episode and write these emails and think about what's coming up and do some planning and all those things, because it is my creative outlet. It is my art form. So that is a big lesson that I learned from this 90-day experiment. Again, this might not be one that you can invest in yourself. I don't know, but I would ask you, I really ask you, do you love it? And is there space for you to learn how to fall in love? Like, if you also take the pressure of the goals and the outcomes and the results away from it, do you love the creative aspect of business? And if you do, focus on that. Because, man, that has been so fulfilling for me. And it will continue to be as I move into 2024. Okay, we're there. 50 minutes later, I've got this podcast episode out. The longest one I've done in a long time. It's been a true joy. I am wrapping up for 2023. I am also inviting you into the year of fun, which is 2024. And I'm so excited for what is to come. I have been channeling some incredible energy for 2024. It is let's fucking go energy. It is the year we're going to be doing the thing. We're going to be enjoying ourselves more. We're going to be starting new creative endeavors, letting go of old things in 2023 that just don't feel aligned or right or joyful or blissful to us. It's like such a boundary year of 2021. We're really boundary with ourselves. We're saying no to a lot of things that don't feel right. Yes to the things that really do. And we are doing it. And I'm so excited for it. And I would love to welcome you into the year of fun, whether that's just by listening to the podcast or whether that's by working with me in some capacity. I'm going to drop a link below to the 12-day of Playmas offers. They will be opening up again on the 3rd of January for about a 4-day period. So you'll be able to tap in during that time. And if it's after that time and you're like, Gemma, I still want to work with you, then you can always reach out to me, support@gemmabernad.com, and we can chat about all of those things. Other than that, thank you so much for being here with me for another year of the podcast. I think I'm 5 years down, 200 plus episodes in, many hours, many tears, many laughter, lots of messages, lots of hours, lots of words spoken. It still is a true joy to have this outlet, to be able to talk to you, and I'm so excited for what's to come. So thank you. I hope you've had an incredible year. I know it's been a challenge for many people, as it has been for my clients, but I just want to pass on to you some optimism that 2024 really does have the potential to be amazing when you show up for what you want to create, not what you don't want to create. So I'll leave that with you. Have a beautiful Christmas, holiday, New Year period, however you choose to celebrate it with you and your loved ones, and I'll see you in 2024 for the year of fun.